I've been home, now I'm home, I'm getting ready to turn around and leave again, so it's...
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I'm not on recording yet. Okay, my name is Chad Hagen. I'm an official on the, with the excuse me, I'm an official with the American Alpine Club. I'm the chair of the Deep South section. And I have on the phone a good friend and fellow member of the American Alpine Club, Robert Hymond. Robert, you've done a lot of work with the Grand Teton Climbers Ranch. How many seasons have you been out there?
This coming year, 2010, will be my 22nd season in a row, uninterrupted, 22nd season in a row going out there at some point during the month that they're open from June into September.
That's amazing.
It's been
22 steady years without any interruption.
That is correct. My first time, you know, I was thinking about this today, actually, my first time through the valley in looking at the Tetons was in 1975 as a 16-year-old. I camped at Jenny Lake, and I didn't return until 1990, and I was up in Yellowstone Park, and I was traveling around North America by myself, trying to climb solo the highest peak in each of the 50 states. And when I was going through Yellowstone, someone suggested that I go down and climb the Grand Teton, and they said, you got to stay at the Climbers Ranch. So that was my first introduction to the Climbers Ranch in 1990.
And from there, you stayed there. Did you end up climbing the Teton, Grand Teton?
Well, you know, it's funny because I showed up by myself in a little two-seat convertible with all my gear shoved in the back seat and the trunk. And, you know, back then I wasn't really an experienced climber, but I knew enough to go as far as I felt comfortable and then turn back if I got uncomfortable. So I went into the Climbers Ranch and asked for information, and I walked out of the ranch by myself with a bivy sack, and I walked up all the way by myself and got to the upper moraine and pitched a little bivy under a big rock right along the trail. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, someone came walking by, and I said hi and scared him pretty good in the darkness, and I was able to get to the top. We talked for a few minutes, and they said, well, where's your partner? I said, well, I don't have a partner. I was just going to try to go as far as I could by myself. And they said, well, that's probably not a good idea. Why don't you come with us? So I said, that'd be great. So I packed up all my stuff real quick and joined them and was able to do the climb and had a little bit of webbing, did a Swiss seat. And on the rappel, they said, well, where's your rappel device? Where's your braking system? I said, oh, I don't have one. And so we rigged up a multiple carabiner braking system and used my little Swiss seat and came on down. Yeah, I just went up and I got real lucky.
Yeah, so it's safe to say that you went as light as possible on gear.
Oh, yeah. All I had was a little food stove and a bivy sack, and that was it.
Yeah, throughout your seasons at the Climbers Ranch, what have you noticed in regards to a change? You know, would you say that in your first season when you were there and then last season, what's the big significant change you've seen?
Well, I think that some of the big changes, there have been changes. It's funny, over the years, some things haven't changed one bit.
Like right.
The same volcanic rock is in the same place on the trail by cabin 4, where I always see it. There's certain things that never change. But one of the things that has changed, you'll remember that there was a fire that took numerous cabins and really impacted the environment. And when I first went out there, you could see all the standing dead trees. And in the middle of the night, you'd hear them fall if the wind came. And each year, there'd be fewer and fewer. And now just about all that is gone. There's almost no visual reference to that fire. So that's sort of a big change. In addition, all the roofs are new. Before, you used to have asphalt roofs. Now they're all metal. But the cabins themselves, other than the roofs, you know, pretty much everything is the same. All the windows are the same. The doors are the same. The bathhouse is new because that was destroyed in the fire. But it's funny how some things change, but some things don't change at all.
Right.
And that's our, that's part of the, that's what I like. You know, you'll we can never stop change in our lives. We're all going to get older, grayer, shorter, fatter, whatever. But it's nice to go to a place that does have very little change. And the great thing that doesn't change is the people that come to the Climbers Ranch.
Right.
We all have a bond. You know, we all have a common bond. It's not politics, I can tell you that. But the one common bond that we do have is what brings a lot of people to the Climbers Ranch, either with other friends or by themselves. It's a place where you can go by yourself and immediately feel included and meet friendly people that have a common interest.
Yeah, and that's really the most important makeups of a club when you think about it. I know you and I talked about this before, but just the feeling, the universal feeling of camaraderie, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, you can, every now and then you'll get a bad apple through there.
Right.
But you know, usually they sort of, you know, shoot themselves in the foot, you know, they wreck their car or something like that. I've never known anything to be stolen. I mean, I can leave something on the table and a year later I'll come back and it's sitting right where I left it.
That's really important.
Yeah, it's fun. And, you know, there is change. They've had, I can think of 4 or 5, maybe even 6 different managers over the years. And they all have a different style. And they all, you know, manage in a different way. And they all have different personalities. But they realize that the ranch is the ranch, and no one really wants to change it dramatically. We want to get it more organized. We want to make sure it's there for future generations, which means a lot of upkeep. It means a lot of hard work, and I'm glad to be a part of the group of people that do that every year.
You're going up this year, so this will be the 23rd year, right? Or
well, since 1990, so if we count, you know, all those years.
Yeah.
So I'll be out there. You know, I just joined about 4 years ago. Someone in the Alpine Club suggested that maybe they should see if I was interested in serving on the Climbers Ranch Committee for the Alpine Club. And that was right after longtime chairman of the committee, Bob Allison, died of cancer. And they came to me and said, would you be interested in doing this? And I said, yeah, great. I'd love to. What do we do? Who's on the committee? And when do we meet? And then after I agreed to accept that position and was excited to do so, I felt that I felt a responsibility to not just go out during August, which is my normal. Every summer I go out for the month of August, and I'll drive out so I have all my gear in my car. But I felt it was important, being on the committee, to go out and participate in what is called Work Week. And that's usually the first week of June, where a select group of people go out and volunteer to turn everything on, figure out what broke over the winter, fix everything, get everything cleaned, fixed, repaired, and do special projects with permission of the Park Service, upgrades, you know, that type of thing. So now I'm actually going out 2 times a year. I go out, I fly out usually in June for Work Week, and then I'll drive out in August. So some years I've been out there more than once.
So you are on the Climbers Ranch Committee?
I am. I am one of the official members of the American Alpine Club Climbers Ranch Committee. Exactly.
And you've been on it for how many years? 5? 4?
Yeah, through 4 years I think it is now.
It's really great.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. And I can't tell you how many great people I have met out there over the years. I have friends around the country and around the world that I've kept in touch with just from the Climbers Ranch.
That really is great. Let's move away from the Climbers Ranch for a second and talk about your climbing.
Mm-hmm.
You climbed, obviously, a number of times in the Tetons. Do you have anything that sticks out as most memorable, or would that be the first time?
Well, every time I visit the Tetons is memorable, but some things are...
Great
maybe,
answer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how can it not be memorable? Whether it's whiteout, sunny, rainy, I don't care. I love it out there. You know, I love all the seasons. And so it's always memorable because, one, you always meet someone interesting for the first time. There's always going to be someone new to meet there, even mm-hmm. though you're going to see your old friends too. But I think some of the most memorable moments are certainly the first time you climb, if you go up there by yourself, uncertain, not knowing anything about it, don't know anything about the route finding. You know, I was a total knucklehead back then. And so that was, it was a great memory. But I think climbing the Grand Teton with my wife was probably a really an amazing feeling for both of us to be up there together. Then I climbed the Grand Teton with a guy who was 60 years old who had just had heart surgery 4 months before. That was memorable.
Wow. That's pretty
awesome. You know, each climb is different. You know, sometimes they're not always good memories. I have to be honest with you. Sometimes the things that stick in your mind are those times when something's bad happened in the mountains and you've either lost a friend or someone's died that you were with that you didn't know. So, unfortunately, they're not always good memories.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're not. And it's unfortunate that there's always sad times like that in this sport. Through your explorations and adventures and climbing trips, you've also become an accomplished photographer. You always take pictures at the Climbers Ranch. I know last year you sent me some, and there were some pictures of some real, real legends, some real heavy hitters, Yvon Chouinard and a few others. You think you're going to be willing to share any of those with the Alpine Club, any unpublished jewels?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Chad, because I am the unofficial photographer for the Climbers Ranch. I've been a photographer since I was about 10 years old, okay? I worked in a custom photo lab. I had a professional photography business for a period. But I realized I didn't want to do it as a living. But every summer when I was out there, or any time I'm out at the Climbers Ranch, I take pictures of what I consider ranch life. Those people
right.
that come, what goes on. I sort of document, I like to document ranch life and those individuals. And I realized when I started going there, the people you meet are what it's all about. I mean, it's just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And I realized there was no record of it. There was no log sign-in book. There was no ledger for all the people to sign, hey, my name's so-and-so from here, and I had the greatest time. Thanks so much. And I realized that it was needed. And so what I started doing is I took pictures every day that I'm there, and before I leave, I went out and bought photo albums. And I have been keeping up with the photo albums since 1990. They can be found in the Climbers Ranch Library. And I've been doing this for exactly the reason you bring up, because we need to have a history. And a lot of times we'll go out there and we'll be talking. I'll say, hey, Joe, remember that guy from Kansas? What was his name? I can't remember. You know, or so we'll just go to the photo album. And his name will be written right next to the photo. So it gives us sort of a window to the past for us to look
right.
back and laugh and joke and refer to it. But it also gives, you know, a history to the place. I mean, people like, well, Willie Unsold's son, Grog, was there. And it's amazing who just, like, drifts through that place. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
And you don't want to lose that. So, you know, I try to take pictures at all the special events, people sitting around playing guitars, all that. But then I also have to casually ask people. I always ask people, hey, would you mind if I take your picture? And I tell them, I'm doing this for the history of the Climbers Ranch. And you don't want to be invasive. And if anyone says, no, I'd rather you didn't, I have no problem with that.
Right, definitely.
So, unfortunately, I just started digital about 4 or 5 years ago, 2005 maybe. And so I've got boxes and boxes of prints and negatives. And I will tell you that some of my photographs are so well liked that they disappear from the photo album. Someone took some, which I guess you can chalk up to.
That's, you know, it's theft, but it's also a compliment. So.
It's a compliment, and I have the negatives. I can replace them.
That you know, earlier on in this interview, you said that you were attempting to climb the highest part of every U.S. state.
Yeah.
How did that go? And also, is that another club affiliation?
Well, it's ongoing. I started in 1990. I've attempted 49 of the 50 state high points. I've accomplished 47, and it's a long-term goal. And I'm considered a high pointer. It's called the High Pointers Club or highpointers.org. We have about 3,000 members. I'm one of the original founding members. It was started in 1987. I started doing it in 1990. There were maybe, you know, only a dozen of us at the time or a couple dozen, and now we've got 3,000. So it's going, and some of them I've done more than once now. Recently I did the second highest point in New York State up in the near Lake Placid in winter.
Right.
So, you try all 50. If you attempt 50 and you succeed in 48 or 49, I'll take that. I don't have to go back and try the one I couldn't get. You know, it's as long as you try. The only failure is in having not tried.
Yeah, half the mission, half the expedition is just trying, just getting there. And if you don't make it, it's not always that much of a letdown. You said you've done 47 out of 50.
I've accomplished 47 out of 50. I tried Maine a few years ago, and we had so much rain and high winds that once we cleared the tree line, I thought it was just too much, and I turned our group back. And we would have been able to do it if the weather had been better, but that's the way it is. And then I spent a month on McKinley Denali up in Alaska and made it to 18,200 feet, 2,000 feet short of the summit. I was the last one. Everyone else had quit and gone back. And my feet started to freeze up pretty good, so I turned around on that. And the only state summit that I've never tried is Florida. I figure I'll save that for last.
Yeah. That's going to be more of a slow walk up. I think the highest point in Florida is like 230 feet.
Yeah, Britton Hill. It's up in the panhandle. And I figure if I say that and something happens, at least they can roll me up in a wheelchair or a gurney and I can tag it.
Yeah. What about the climb in California for the highest point there?
Mount Shasta. Yeah, I soloed every single one of these except for Rainier in Washington State. I did with one other person. I did Wyoming with a group, and I did Montana. You know, you got to be a little bit smart. If you go into these ones that are 50 miles round trip, something happens and you're by yourself, you can, you know, not only for yourself, but you're going to put others at risk, you know, doing a rescue. So I always try to climb on weekends where more people are going to be out there. But, I soloed them all except for just maybe three.
That's really an awesome thing.
Yeah,
last question.
Sure.
If you'd like to see any changes in the Grand Teton Climbers Ranch, what would they be? And where would you like to see the Climbers Ranch go over the next few years? You want to have it pretty much stay the same or what?
Yeah, well, your question is timely because we're already accomplishing that. I've always wanted – I'm a creature of organization. You know, a lot of climbers are engineers, and, you know, to be a climber, no matter what type of climbing you're doing, you got to be organized. And so over the years, what I try to do is get out there and organize the tool shed or get projects finished. And I am proud to say that over the last year, the club is going in the right direction. The ranch is going in the right direction. We're doing fundraising. We're getting projects completed. We are not just trying to play keep up. We're actually moving down the road of making a lot of improvements, from solar panels on one of the cabins. My goal is the long-term sustainability of the Climbers Ranch for those that will come after us. That's my commitment. That's who we're working for, and that's who our commitment is for. And so I'd like to see the ranch continue to stay organized. We now have an online reservation system. I mean, before mm-hmm. you had to mail a check, and it couldn't be there before a certain date. And so now we have an online registration system. Excellent. We have a lot of stuff that related to conservation. You know, we've got a lot of talks, lecturers going on. We've encouraged bicycle use instead of automobile use. We recycle.
Yeah, and I've
more
seen
and
that.
More.
We have all those bicycles there now.
Yeah, and we worked on that last
That's
year.
Great.
So there's so many great things that we could implement and improve the Climbers Ranch and improve the ambiance for the climbers, and we're doing that. And it seemed like before we couldn't take that extra step forward because we just didn't have the resources. You know, we're always trying to play catch up. We got to fix this. We got to fix that. You know, we got to get this done by next week. And now we're really getting organized. And this past year, John Clegg is the new manager, and he was able to identify a source for matching funds. And so whatever money he raised through commitments like people like myself or you, people that wanted to donate money, he could get a matching in-kind, matching donation pledge. So we doubled it right there. I mean, so it's great, and we're dealing with, you know, cleaning the place up really well and keeping the tool shed. It's amazing, you know, what can accumulate back there.
Yeah.
And so we're really making great strides, and that's where I want to see the Climbers Ranch go. We need to be sustainable. We need to be able to be organized and be able to make improvements as we move forward. And we're doing it. I mean, there's no way around it. You know, I'd like to have more people come there. If we could expand the word of the Climbers Ranch, so more people around the world, and I'm not just talking to the U.S., the American Alpine Club, you know, predominantly U.S., I guess, but you see a lot of people come out there because the Grand Tetons are famous. And if we can make it for everyone to enjoy, where no one goes away unhappy, and everyone wants to donate, and everyone wants to see the ranch survive and prosper in the future, we're doing the right thing.
Well, that's good. Well, Robert, you're a tremendous asset to the club and the Climbers Ranch, and thank you very much for your time.
Hey, listen, I appreciate it. And just let me know anytime you got any questions. And Golden knows I have all these photos and negatives, and I've told them and pledged to them that I'd share them, you know, in the future. It's just a function of going through and trying to get all the negatives, you know, scanned, I guess, at this point.
Well, that's awesome. Can't wait to see him.
Great. Well, I appreciate very much, Chad, you taking the interest in with the Deep South chapter and your commitment to the club and reaching out to those of us who have great stories to share.
All right. Well, thanks, Robert.
You got it.
Talk to you soon.
That's it.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hold on 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't figured out this damn thing yet.
I hope you don't record that.
I do, too. I've been hitting off like 3 times. I'm going to call you back. We're hanging up.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.